Heavenly Father, thank you again for another chance and opportunity we have to share your precious word. We ask now, Lord, that you'll prepare hearts of all that receive this word today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. In your Bibles, Revelation chapter 17, chapter 13, speaks about the same beast. In verse 2 of chapter 17, I'm going to try to stick with the verses so that you can stay with me. You can see where I get the information. There'll be no more separation of church and state. This harlot religious system will commit adultery with all the kings of the earth, the leaders of the earth. She'll conspire with world leaders to produce a merger of religion and government. Here it finally is, a religious system united with a political system. That's what will be in the tribulation period. To manipulate the people of the earth into false government-approved religion. A false government-approved religion. The wine of her fornication is referenced to demon possession. The wicked woman will cause people to be led astray by deceiving spirits. This beast comes out of the abyss, out of the lowest pit of hell. The world religion will have a lot of people involved in it. The saved, regardless of religion or denomination, will be raptured. That has already occurred. The church is already in heaven when this is taking place. So if the church is in heaven, that means that whatever church is left on earth is an apostate church. It's not a true church, it's an apostate church. And that's what this beast represents. The lost, regardless of the religious beliefs, will be left behind. Verse 3, I'm going fast because we've already went over this, but we've got to have a little review. The woman that rides the beast, he carried me away in the spirit. He's talking about John into the wilderness. And John saw a woman sitting on a scarlet beast, which was full of names of blasphemy, having seven heads and 10 horns. It's exactly the replica of the beast in chapter 13, seven heads and 10 horns. John was taken in the spirit to a desert place where he saw something very strange. A woman was sitting on this scarlet beast. This beast is Antichrist. As it was in chapter 13, the beast is Antichrist. It represents the Antichrist. However, the angel says that we want to give you the meaning of it. And so we're going to go on a little bit further to where it says we're going to give you the meaning of it. Verse 6, I saw the woman drunken with the blood of the saints and with the blood of the martyrs of Jesus. When I saw her, I wondered with great admiration. This is John speaking. The angel said to me, wherefore didst thou marvel? I will tell thee the mystery of the woman and of the beast that carried her, which has seven heads and 10 horns. That is verse 7. Are you still with me? Verse 7. We're going to take this by verse, and I'll try to explain it. This beast existed prior to John's lifetime. The term once was did not exist when John had received this revelation. Now is not will reappear again at an unspecified time in the future. The beast will have satanic ties to the subterranean abode of the demonic spirits, better known as the abyss. I'd say at the lowest part of hell. He will eventually go to his destruction, which is the term going into perdition. He will eventually be destroyed. He will be put into the lake of fire. Not only will he be placed in the lake of fire, but also will his followers, inhabitants of the earth, whose names who have not been written in the Lamb's Book of Life from the creation of the world with him. When the fifth trumpet sounds, Satan will open the bottomless pit and will release the demonic spirits that are being held there. Verse 9, still with me? Put your spiritual wisdom cap on. Here is the mind, which has wisdom. The seven heads are seven mountains in which the woman sits. Some have tried to interpret the seven mountains being the seven hills that Rome sits on. the reason that perhaps whatever reason it is that they have picked on Roman Catholic Church, I'm not sure. But the actual mountains are referred to seven kings or kingdoms. These seven mountains are seven kings or kingdoms, which I will show you. There was a religious system, which is Babylon, that sits on the seven mountains. The seven kings are seven kingdoms. Some would refer to that seven mountains, as I said, the seven hills that Rome sits on. If that's the only reference it is to it, the prostitute will control and be certainly supported by Rome. That's what we could get from that. That's the most we can get out of that, that perhaps Rome will support this system. That's a possibility. We don't want to go much further there because I just think it's too far to go. It's possible that Rome may support this religious system. That's a possibility. Verse 10. There are also seven kings. Five have fallen. One is, and the other has not yet come. When he comes, he must continue a short time. Now that gives us an indication there who that is. If his kingdom is going to be short, guess who that is? That's the Antichrist. His kingdom is short. It's 7 years. So we know who that is. The seven heads are seven mountains. They are also seven kings. In other places of Scripture, especially in the book of Daniel, kings are translated as kingdoms. The five who are fallen are the five Gentile world kingdoms. I'll name them for you. Assyrian, Medo-Persian, Greek, Egyptian, and Babylonian. They are the five that have fallen. They're the five kingdoms that are past, and they are fallen. They are no more. That existed before John, the Apostle John's lifetime. One is refers to the sixth kingdom, which would be the kingdom that was in control when John was writing this, which would be Roman. The sixth kingdom is the Roman kingdom that existed during John's lifetime. The king was Domitian. He was the king of John's lifetime. Domitian, very wicked ruler, hated Christians, did terrible things, tortured Christians. He was the one that was responsible for exiling John to the Isle of Patmos where he received his revelation. Wicked king Domitian. The other has not yet come. That should tell us who that is. That's the Antichrist. It refers to the seventh future kingdom or the revived Roman Empire. The revived Roman Empire is the Antichrist kingdom. It's the revived Roman Empire, which will exist after John's lifetime. So the seventh kingdom will remain, and he must continue a short time, yes, for the duration of the seven-year tribulation period. So the seven Gentile world kingdoms are Assyrian, Medo-Persian, Greek, Egyptian, Babylon, Roman, and revived Roman Empire. They are your seven kingdoms. They are the seven kingdoms. The revived Roman Empire is in the works right now as we speak. That's in the works right now. That's being formulated now. The revived Roman Empire is being formulated. As I reminded you before we studied the book of Revelation, some of you might have been confused on how to vote. I will assure you that when we're done with this study, you will know exactly how to vote. There won't be any, I don't know. We'll get rid of the I don't know. You'll be able to know how to vote when we're finished with this. Because I'll be bringing some things up that will look very familiar to you. The seventh kingdom is the revived Roman Empire. It will last for 7 years or 1 week of years. From the day the Antichrist signs the seven-year covenant to protect Israel. 7 years will be the length of the tribulation period. Verse 11, everybody still with me? I've got 10 minutes. Revelation verse 11, the beast that was and is not is himself also the eighth and is of the seven and is going to perdition. The beast that was and is not is Antichrist. He is the eighth king or kingdom. Is of the seven means he will be one of the seven already that I've mentioned. And since he is yet to come, he must come out of the seventh Gentile world kingdom, which will be the revived Roman Empire that's being put together now. As an eighth king, he will take over the seventh Gentile world kingdom, and he will establish his own brand of world government, a new world order. The Antichrist will rise to power in that government, take it over, and transform it into a satanic state. The beast that was and is not is the beast that will come out of the bottomless pit, the Antichrist. Verse 12, the hour of trial is referred to, the entire seven-year tribulation period is referred to that hour. That's the hour. Let me try to make you understand that. The ten horns are ten kings that will rule with the Antichrist. It's a picture of the end-time world government. It's what it's going to be like. The Antichrist will rule the world, which will be divided into 10 divisions. In charge of each division will be a separate leader who will answer to the Antichrist. The 10 kings will receive authority for 1 hour. It's a biblical term that means a short time. And in this case, it means the 10 kings will reign with the Antichrist for the duration of the tribulation period, which is 7 years. And the significance of this is the fact that Jesus promised to keep faithful believers, that's you and me, from the hour of the trial that is coming upon the world. Revelation 3:10. The church will not be on earth during this 1 hour reign of the 10 kings with the Antichrist. We'll already be in the balconies of heaven. Because you have kept my command to persevere, I also will keep you from the hour of trial which shall come upon the whole world to test those who dwell on the earth. Revelation 3:10, there it is. Revelation chapter 17, verse 13. I'm going to get another verse in. These are of one mind. They will give their power and authority to the beast. The ten rulers will be under the Antichrist. They will be nothing more than puppet kings who will submit to him. Dictators, and get this, and listen closely. Dictators usually come to power by using one or more of these tactics: violence, force, or political trickery. After coming to power, they usually have to continue to use force to stay in power. And because of that, listen very carefully, and because of that, they usually outlaw basic freedoms, such as the freedom of assembly. Wow. What did we have during the COVID lockdown? Restriction of freedom of assembly. Are you listening to me? Get this. Understand this. Freedom of speech. I have never, in 67 years, seen such an attack on freedom of speech as I have had seen in the last 5 years. You with me? And freedom of worship. What did the lockdown do? Still with me? I want to tell you something. This lockdown was just a dress rehearsal for what's coming. For what is coming. It's a dress rehearsal. Wake up. Tribulation is at your door. It's knocking. If you don't see it, you're really blind. And I feel sorry for you. Wake up. Wake up. Verse 14. These will make war with the Lamb, and the Lamb will overcome them, for he is the Lord of lords and King of kings. Those who are with him are called, chosen, and faithful. At the end of the tribulation period, the Antichrist and his 10 puppet kings will make war against the Lamb and his called, chosen, and faithful followers who will come with him and will destroy the Antichrist by the brightness of his coming. The outcome of these who are left on the earth, who were left behind, was determined long ago. The Lamb would defeat them in the battle of Armageddon because he's the Lord of Lords and King of Kings. Only those who are called, chosen, and faithful will be with Jesus. Verse 15, worldwide deception. Then he said to me, the waters which you saw where the harlot sets are people, multitude, nations, and tongues. The waters that the harlot sets on in Revelation are people, multitude, nation, and tongues. It's a base of power and support. Will give the harlot religious system tremendous control. She will ensnare and deceive people on a worldwide scale. Babylon the mother, no more. Verse 16. I'll get this one in yet. And the 10 horns which you saw on the beast, these will hate the harlot and make her desolate, naked, and eat her flesh and burn her with fire. During the first half of the tribulation period, the first 3.5 years, the Antichrist or the beast will be submissive to Babylon or this harlot. He will be submissive to this harlot or this prostate church. He will be submissive to them. This one world religious government. And John tells us the Antichrist and his 10 kings will rise up against her at midpoint tribulation period. Halfway through the tribulation period, the Antichrist is going to say, that's it. It's time for you to worship me. Not the harlot. Not that. You're going to worship me. And he is going to change what he wrote down for the peace treaty for Israel. And he's going to change it. He's going to change his mind. And then look out. The great tribulation period will commence. The great tribulation period will commence when he is overthrown. He's talking about overthrowing the harlot. He's had enough. The Antichrist will enter the Jewish temple in Jerusalem and he will declare himself to be God. He will stop the sacrifices. There will be no more making sacrifices. Someone has to go. The Antichrist and his allies will destroy the harlot's religious system. They will confiscate her expensive clothing, gold, and precious stones. They will persecute and kill her poor, deceived people. The fact that they will eat her flesh and burn her with fire just shows the intensity and totality of the harlot's end. Nothing will remain of her. She will be completely destroyed. God will allow it to happen. This wicked woman, Babylon, has two identities. A harlot, she's an actual city. And there'll be the destruction of the city will come later in the next chapter 18. We'll talk about her destruction. Verse 17, I can get one more. For God has put it in her hearts to fulfill his purpose, to be of one mind, to give their kingdoms to the beast until the words of God are fulfilled. The Antichrist doesn't know, but he's really just a puppet king like the others, like the 10 that are under him. God will plant the idea of destroying this false religious system into his heart and the hearts of the 10 puppet kings. Destruction of the harlot religious system is the reason that God will agree to give them power. They will be instruments in his hand to accomplish his purpose and fulfill his words. Listen, folks, God's in control. The Antichrist thinks he is, but God's in control. It's God, not him. Whew, that's a good place to stop. All right, put a mark there in your Bible. We'll continue next Sunday, Lord willing. There, I just put a line in there. All right, be verse 18. All right. Would you stand with me? I'm glad you were able to be with us. I'm glad you were able to visit with us today. And those of you who might be viewing this on the internet, we also would like to have a closing prayer with you as well. Father in heaven, thank you for the opportunity we had today to be together, to have gathered and to study your word and to pray with one another. And Father, if these who have been listening and by some other way, we pray also for them and for their families, for their loved ones. We pray for them. We pray, Lord, that your will be done in their lives as well. We're grateful and thankful for what you've done in our lives. We're thankful to be here today. We're glad to be saved. We're thankful for your Holy Spirit. And we just pray that each and every one that's here today and have heard this lesson, Lord, that you'll just keep in the very palm of your hand, keep them the apple of your eye. Just be with them. Help them, Lord, and strengthen them, encourage them, and Lord, give them the power to live a holy life for you, a life that's pleasing. that we will hear the word someday, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Enter into the blessed, to the eternal. Thank you for this precious time together we had for your precious word. Now it's time to leave. Father, be with each and every one. Give them safe traveling mercies to their home until they return again. In Jesus' name we pray. Everybody said, amen. Lord bless you.